and of the Holy Spirit. There are places in the world where it feels like heaven and earth are not very far apart. As one New York Times travel writer once wrote, the distance between heaven and earth in these places collapses, and we're able to catch glimpses of the divine. The ancient Celts called these thin places. A Celtic saying goes, heaven and earth are only 3 feet apart, but in thin places that distance is even shorter. The pagan Celts often built cairns in these places, or circles of rocks that were kind of a shrine, an altar to recognize their sacred quality. And Christians later built monasteries and churches in some of these places. Some thin places are famous, like the Isles of Iona and Lindisfarne off the coast of Scotland. There's wide agreement among people who've traveled there about the transcendent quality of such places. But thinness is also in the eye of the beholder. Mount Marcy, the top of Mount Marcy, which is the highest peak in the Adirondack Mountains in New York, is a beautiful place, but probably most people would not call it a thin place. Yet for me, it is, because it's where we scattered my father's ashes after he was killed in a car accident in 1993. For you, it may be the gravesite of a loved one. It may be your backyard. It may be a space at the beach that particularly feels to you thin, where when you go there, you can enter into the enormity of God's presence. On the feasts of All Saints and All Souls, we remember all the souls who have gone on before us, who have passed into eternity before us, and all those saints who have preceded us in faith and who have passed these faith traditions on to us across generations. On a day like today, it occurs to me that just as there are thin places in the world where the distance between heaven and earth kind of collapses, maybe there are also thin moments and thin people, not as in supermodel thin. In an obviously apocryphal story, a priest once asked a little boy, "What is a saint?" The little boy pointed to the stained glass windows in his church and he said, "Saints are the people that the light shines through." Celebrities are people that the light shines on. Saints are people that light shines through. Some of them are famous, known across generations in time and place, like Francis of Assisi, whose likeness to God has inspired thousands, if not millions, of people, brought us closer to God. But there are also saints among us who are known maybe only to the handful of people that they come into contact with in the course of their lifetime. I think about a woman named Patty, who was a member of the parish where I became an Episcopalian out in Pomona, St. Paul's. The day that Mike and I first arrived there, we came in the door, and little Patty came up to us. I swear she must have been 4'10", tiny, skinny, like not well skinny. She had teeth missing, many teeth missing. She was probably in her 50s, I came to learn, but she looked like she was in her 70s. I never did know what her story was and why she looked so hard and why life had been so hard for her. But the first day we walked into St. Paul's, Patty came up to us and said, "Hi, I'm Patty. Welcome. Come in." I mean, she talked just like that. It was just this rapid fire, constant speech. "Come on in. Here's where you could sit. Would you like a cup of coffee? Will you stay afterwards? Come down to our next thing. We're doing da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And she just went on and on and on. And every week after we would come back, we would watch her do the very same thing with newcomers coming into the door. And we all thought, oh, my gosh, she's going to run them all out of church. But we came back, didn't we? And so did most of them. And what if we stuck around long enough to see it, what you saw in Patty was somebody who never saw anyone as a stranger. And she treated everyone. I mean, you could come in dressed to the nines or dressed in bags with dirt in your hair, and she treated you exactly the same. And everyone could see it. And she spoke to us of the unconditional hospitality of God. She radiated that to us. These are the people in our lives, saints, who show us the goodness and the grace of God when we are not expecting it, not looking for it, maybe not even wanting it. But God shines through nonetheless, and we are changed by our encounter with them. Sometimes we are convicted. We see our own fault, and we become better people because of the example of others. There are saints among us, and there always have been. When you touch the pews in this church or in the chapel, you can almost feel more than 50 years of people's prayers, a community's prayer life. When you open the prayer book of our church, you can feel more than 500 years of people's heartache and hope. And when you look at the cross, you can feel more than 2,000 years, if you're paying attention, of the sacrifice of people and the love of people poured out into a world in need. There are saints among us, and we spend a moment today, we will spend a moment today during our Eucharist, reading aloud just a few of their names, those who have passed into eternity in the past year that we knew here at this parish. And as we say their names, maybe we could all try to remember that these names represent only a small fraction of the saints through history through whom God's light has shined, and that they are connected in time and space and in God's eternal presence to us right here. And then, in just a few moments, when we gather here and begin the liturgy of baptism, when Nancy Jacobs Meyer's grandson Callahan, great-grandson Callahan, is baptized in just a few moments, let's also try to remember that he, growing up in this church, needs to see the light of God shining through us, or God may not be real to him. We have that responsibility to radiate Christ to others and to help them to know him by the quality of our lives. All Saints and All Souls Days, these are thin moments when we acknowledge that we are surrounded by the communion of saints, a great cloud of witnesses, as it's called in the book of Hebrews, a great cloud of thin people who are cheering for us and praying constantly for us who remain here on this side of the veil. And as our youth have dramatized for us today, they are as close to us as the lockers in the hallway at school, cheering for us and imparting strength and courage and hope when we need it. I learned this week that in Scandinavian lands, a traditional feature of many churches there is a communion rail in a semicircular shape. So instead of going straight across like ours does, it kind of starts at the back, comes in a semicircle around the high altar, and meets the other wall. But in many cases, if you go outside, the churchyard, the graveyard, is just beyond the wall, and the semicircle extends out in and encompasses those in the graveyard as well. so that every time one comes to communion, and even though ours is straight, we can imagine the same thing, that when we come to communion, there's a visceral reminder of those words that are on the front of your bulletin. And the two most important things that we need to take away from All Saints Day today. First, the dead who have gone before us have gone no further from us than to God. And God is very near. Amen.